From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to a Friday that is not a red fry, but it's almost a red Friday. And hey, fourth game of the season is coming up for the Chiefs, and we have you covered. All of us are here today. We have Seth from The Athletic. We have Chris from Chiefs Digest and Locked On Chiefs. Me from, you know, elsewhere around the web. And we are going to talk about all kinds of things Chiefs, because there's still a lot of things that have to be ironed out about this team. And, you know, how are you, Seth? You having a good day?
Yeah, I'm having a very good day. I took a bit of a beating in the mentions earlier this week, but that's okay. You know, I was told by a bunch of Chiefs fans afterward that they still love me. So,
aww.
Yeah, I was very sweet.
And Chris, are you breaking stuff?
Trying not to, but yeah, I've already broke the boom once that I just got, so we'll see if I break it again.
Boom, boom, boom. I'm not going to
easy now.
Yeah, sorry.
I do like the setup if I can get it to work.
Folks, we're always trying to improve our audio quality and our show quality for you, and Chris has made the investment in some equipment, and I just got to figure it out.
And by we, Ryan means him and Chris. Me, I'm still operating off a headset because I'm incapable of change, frankly.
You're just getting ready to do your live play-by-play, you know, for Channel 5 or Channel 9.
Yes, well, here, somebody. Hold on. Now, coming live from Channel 5, it's Seth Kaiser. I think I could totally do that.
I think you could
pull off the radio voice. I've certainly got a face for radio, so kind of works out well. Sure, brother.
Oh, yeah. Well, the other thing that we have is a lot of ideas about this team.
Yes.
So while we could chat away, folks, we are going to get down to it. It is a Friday, and we know you all have stuff to do. This game coming up on Monday is going to be very interesting, and personally for me is going to be something that I can talk about with my friends and neighbors here. So that's going to be good. But we're going to get to that in the second half. Right now, there's still a possibility to upgrade this roster, and we have to talk about
yes.
that. First and foremost, a little bit of news. Bashaud Breeland signed with the Packers, yep. not in Kansas City. I think they lost all interest, to tell you the yep. truth, but he signed for $790,000. Yep. I mean, is this just the epiphany come to Jesus moment that he figured out nobody's going to pay you what you think you're worth, man? Or do you think there's been something wrong and the Packers just didn't care? They're desperate.
Based on the timing and how things went down, what I think happened was, you know, he had a big free agency tour, right? I mean, he met with like what, six teams?
More than that.
And the Chiefs were like super interested, and I think teams were really interested in him, but I think he held firm on wanting to have some somewhat similar contract to what he got from Carolina, and I think he alienated some teams with his stance there. And then eventually what happens is some front offices, they'll tell you to kick rocks at a certain point. And I think that's what happened. I think he overestimated what teams would be willing to pay him. Then he thought he'd have a hardline stance. And then what ends up happening is suddenly teams stop calling, and then they stop returning your agent's calls, and some of your options dry up, and it happens fast, man.
It does.
I'm still not sold that this has nothing to do with injury.
Could be.
I mean, partially at least. I'm not saying the entire thing is injury related, but I think that there's at least a good portion that he wasn't 100% healthy, and I don't know that he's still 100% healthy, or he probably would have got more money somewhere else.
That's the way I lean as well. And I just wanted to cover this for Chiefs fans, because for those that were just kind of wandering around in the dark, why aren't they signing this guy? Well, there was something. A lot of teams didn't. And eventually, when you see the money that he did sign for, you can see there was something definitely wrong, either in attitude or his physical capability right now. And so I don't take it too hard on them that they didn't end up going with him, because there was a reason behind it.
Well, and I will say this other thing as well. If that's the contract he would have taken during training camp, I bet you he would be a Chief right now.
I agree.
Oh, yeah. He could have took three or four times that, and he would have been, as mm-hmm. far as I'm concerned. I think they could have gone four-ish a year and
I agree.
Been happy. But that brings us to the other way that they can improve this secondary, who, you know, the Chiefs had an extra day off this week. Still not seeing a whole lot out of Eric Berry. I'm not feeling like it's imminent that he's going to return in the next few weeks. But there's this guy who is really tired of playing for the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, he is tired. And he just happens to be, you know, an elite player at his position. He happens to be a guy that would be a perfect fit next to Eric Berry when Eric's able to come back. And I know a lot of folks are asking about it. And I know Seth and I have a lot of opinion, but Chris, where do you stand on Earl Thomas? Do you want him? Do you think he's a fit? Do you think it's worth doing?
I think it could be worth doing for the right price. The problem is, and I know Seth is going to talk about this a little bit later, but my problem right now is if you trade for him, you have to give up more than a second round pick. And if you're going to give up more than a second round pick, you have to sign him to a long-term deal. And if you're going to sign him to a long-term deal, that's going to tie up a lot of cap space in your safety, in the safety group. At that point, I don't think there's any possible way you keep Daniel Sorensen, which I'm not saying that should keep you from making this move.
I love you, Chris. I had to giggle because I thought of Ryan's reaction to that.
Oh, no, I'm fully aware. And I understand what everybody else's reaction is to it as well. My simple point is that it's not going to change. It's going to change that.
Enough.
Right. He has to be gone if you're going to bring in a guy like Earl Thomas. And if you're going to trade a second-round pick, which you have an extra second-round pick because of the Marcus Peters trade, okay. But, you know, you're going to be getting a 29-year-old player. Maybe he can play for another 2 or 3 years. He would be fantastic behind or next to Eric Berry. It's a tough call. But like I said, it's a lot to give up, too.
Yeah, I've come around on that because a nice Twitter follower reminded me that the Chiefs have an extra second round pick because of the Peters trade. And I started to think about it in these terms. If you're trading an all pro away and you can get another all pro for that same pick and maybe a fifth, maybe they have to give up a fourth. I could live with either of those. If you can work out the money, then in my opinion, it's doable and it's worth that risk to be inside this Super Bowl window that we're watching them step into. Now, how they get there and what the value is, I know, Seth, you've had long discussions about this, but where do you stand on organizing the money and that kind of thing and the sacrifices that have to be made?
Well, I would urge anyone who's really concerned about the Chiefs cap situation to do is go to Over the Cap, Cap Calculator. Just Google that, Over the Cap, Chiefs Cap Calculator, right? Click on the site that it brings you to. And I think you guys have played around with that, right?
Yeah.
So go to that and play around with it for a little bit. It'll take a little while to learn, but play around with that for an hour. Within an hour, I guarantee it, once you kind of get used to figuring out the bells and whistles of how to play around with contract structures and stuff, figuring out how to make, you know, free agent signings, you know, how to do it, I guarantee you within an hour, you will be able to sign an Earl Thomas to a long-term deal, sign Tyreek Hill to a long-term deal, sign Kendall Fuller, sign Mitch Morse if you want, and sign Chris Jones, and still have money left over. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. And the reason I know that is because I've done it. It's not hard. The Chiefs have $20 million in cap space for dead salary cap coming off next year. They're going to be in the middle of the league in salary cap room. They're going to have millions upon millions upon millions of dollars to spend, even more the next year. This idea that the Chiefs are hurting for cap space, it's a myth. And really, I mean, remember when everyone was like, how are the Rams doing this earlier this offseason?
This is how.
This is how. Because if you don't have a lot of dead money and you've got a rookie quarterback, that's when you can splurge. Well, you can't spend that much money on the safety position. Yeah, you can. You really can. And here's one other thing. This is a general principle. People are talking about, well, they already spent that kind of money on Eric Berry. Making business decisions based on sunk cost is a loser's bet in any business.
It's true.
Any business. And football is no exception to that. I would like to, I know we got to take a break. I would like to make a couple of quick points about Thomas as a player and draft picks and windows. And so if I can have like 2 minutes when we come back from a break, I would just rise up and call you blessed because I will talk both of you into agreeing with me.
Okay, we can do that. Folks, we'll be right back. I like this whole rising thing. Let's get after it.
Yes. All right. So here's the deal with Earl Thomas. He is currently playing football at an incredibly high level at this point. He looks just as athletic as ever. So the injury thing, you know, he got injured last year for the first time in like 9 years. I'm not worried about that, right? People want to talk about the age thing. He's 29. Ed Reed was an all-pro when he was 34.
Right.
Safeties age more gracefully than other positions because it's just as much about feel as it is about athleticism. Earl Thomas has tremendous range because of his speed, but also because of his understanding of the game. He is going to be a great, great player if he doesn't get injured, which is a toss-up for anyone, for another 3 or 4 years. And guess what? After 3 or 4 years, that's when guaranteed money and contracts run out, mm-hmm. right? So that part doesn't bother me. The salary cap, we already covered that. Seriously, just go check it out. See how easy it is. You do not have to make a choice between him and Hill or him and Jones or him and Fuller. You can have all of them if you want. You really can. Now let's talk about draft picks. Second round pick, easy. They got an extra one. So now we're just talking about what else you threw in and along the deal. And like I've had people say, well, no, if you had to throw in like another fourth round or something, I wouldn't do it. And to which I respond, are you kidding me? What are the chances of getting a player that is 1/4 the player Earl Thomas is with that fourth round pick are infinitesimally small. Infinitesimally small. Imagine if the Bears had almost traded for Khalil Mack and then they came back and said, you know, that last fifth round pick was just too much.
Well, I'll give it to you even another way. You can have Earl Thomas for the remainder of this season and next season before you would even get to what that fourth round pick's going to be able to be as an impact, because they just spent a fourth round pick on Armani Watts and he's having zero impact. So let's not get tied up in what a draft pick can do year one.
Exactly. And that's the exact point here. People overvalue two things in the NFL. Well, they overvalue lots of things, but two things especially: cap space and draft picks. Now, you can't spend yourself into cap hell, but that's mostly done by paying the wrong players, not by paying players, right? It's about paying players that are not good long-term investments like an Albert Haynesworth. Earl Thomas has already had one huge contract and he played his butt off after it. Okay. So I just don't buy into this idea that it's not worth it. And this idea that draft picks won't be worth it, because I'm telling you, if the Chiefs said, hey, fine, we'll send you a second rounder and a fourth rounder and then another fourth rounder the following year, I wouldn't even blink. And people act like fourth rounders are some kind of precious commodity. They are not. They are not.
No, they're a toss-up. And I'll tell you this. The bigger picture thing is you can worry about that if you're really a draft guy. And believe me, I talk to draft guys all year long.
Yep.
But here's the thing. This window is only as long as the rookie contract for Patrick Mahomes.
Amen.
So you have this season and you have next season. And here's the thing. Earl Thomas and Eric Berry together are the elite safety combination in this league if that happens.
Ooh.
And they, by themselves, can make up for the deficiencies at corner on this team right now.
And linebacker.
And can make you, maybe linebacker.
In coverage, it is, at least.
In coverage, yes.
Yes.
But it makes them an AFC championship or a Super Bowl contender tomorrow if that trade happens.
Absolutely. And one last thing with regards to schematic. I've talked a lot, and you know, I talked on Twitter about Tyreek Hill versus Earl Thomas, and fortunately they don't have to choose, and Hill is wildly valuable. Here's what I'll say about Earl Thomas, because a bunch of people yelled at me. Earl Thomas allows you to play cover one as often as you want.
All day long.
And that's incredibly valuable. You can have one player on the back end who can legitimately cover sideline to sideline and protect. That's why the Seahawks were able to play this variant of cover three, this super simple thing, for years, because they didn't need a second deep safety because Thomas could cover sideline to sideline and close out deep routes. And that's an incredibly valuable thing, especially if you're the Chiefs and you think you're going to be getting into a lot of shootouts the rest of this year. Because he can close down the opportunity for teams to strike back. That's such a huge deal. So I'm passionate about this because, like what you said, the window is short. Windows close quickly in the NFL. And right now they've got Mahomes on a rookie contract. People are worried about 2022. I'm sorry. Right now I'm not worried about 2022. I'm worried about the next 3 years. Now, no, don't do anything stupid in the meantime. But you know what? If the Chiefs end up in cap hell in 2022 and are only able to re-sign Mahomes, because let's face it, they're going to find a way to keep him around. That's going to happen. But if they're in cap hell, but we've got a Super Bowl to show for it, I'm not going to care.
Right. It fixes all evils. And Chris, I don't know how you feel about schematically, but right now today, a second and a fourth, do you pull the trigger on that?
You got to consider it. There are so many questions to me on that. When you make a big trade like that, I do think that he can clean up a lot of things for Kansas City, and I think he would help in a lot of ways. So I can understand why you would want to do that. Whether or not I'd actually pull the trigger, I'm not sure. Well, to be completely honest, because, you know, second and fourth round pick, that's a lot. And how quickly is he going to get into this defense? I would think that he could get into it quickly, and I think he could be a valuable piece. But he's going to want more money than Barry, and that's a little worrisome for me. So
that's fair. But like I said, you can worry about that down the line. So Chris has a little concern. Seth and I are pretty much gung-ho. We'll sign you tomorrow, Earl, so let us know. But, you know, and here's the thing is we need to talk about this Broncos game too, because I know you guys are piped up about that. But this, you can see these things in reverse. Earl Thomas can do for the Chiefs secondary what the loss of Aqib Talib has done to the Broncos secondary.
Yeah.
And this is secondary that used to be formidable. All of a sudden, Bradley Roby can't play as well. Chris Harris is basically a man on an island by himself. And these Chiefs have matchup upon matchup, even if they had the full no-fly zone of 2-3 years ago. But right now, I have to think that the Chiefs have too many ways that they can go. It's going to be a smorgasbord. And I don't think that this Broncos team is going to concentrate on shutting down Tyreek Hill like we've seen in the last week.
They haven't needed to in years past, because last year Aqib Talib matched up against Hill better than any other corner I saw. Now I don't know what they do. I mean, Harris didn't do as well against him. And Harris is a great corner. And they've got okay safeties. I mean, they're not, you know, I've seen some people say, oh, they're just a way better secondary than what the Chiefs have faced so far. You know, I got to tell you, I'm just not. I mean, I could see the Chiefs losing because it's the NFL, right? I mean, you just never know. But the Chiefs have been owning the Broncos for years, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. They're just too good on offense. And we saw now with the Niners game that even though, yeah, the defense in the second half had a couple of hiccups, we saw in the first half that a non-elite passing offense, they can at least do some things against. And the Broncos definitely have a non-elite passing offense. And so,
yeah, that's.
I think there's actually. I mean, the Chiefs, they're just too talented. They're just too much more talented. The only thing that scares me is the fact that Mile High in September, and I know it's not called Mile High anymore, whatever it's called, is problematic for whatever reason. It does seem to affect road teams more in September than any other month. So that concerns me a little.
And that's fair,
but it's not September.
Oh, jeez.
You're 24 hours in October.
Well, then problem solved.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I get what you're saying. I do think that there is a lot of issues when you're looking into this game. I think that you're looking at, and when you're talking about September, you're also talking about warmer weather, and you're talking about altitude. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if you're a Denver player or not, you still struggle, I think, more in the altitude in the winter months. And that's why I think it actually doesn't affect teams near as much, because both teams are struggling with that. So I see there's a lot of problems going into this game. I do think that it's not going to be close. At least maybe it'll be close on the scoreboard, but I don't think the game's going to feel close.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I hope that it's not close on the scoreboard, because looking at this on paper, like Seth said, that there are a couple of guys you got to watch out for. I'm still particularly a little concerned about the running back matchup against the Chiefs linebackers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have a rookie in Cameron Sutton that's taken as many snaps as Demaryius Thomas. So that passing, like Seth was saying, is not exactly formidable. Case Keenum, I mean, this is still a team that I think the Chiefs defense should be able to compete with. And I'm not saying shut them out, but I'm saying that they should have probably the most success that defense has had to this season's point against this team.
Yes.
That's saying a lot. I think it depends on the run game. Like if Denver can get the running game going, I think it'll help open things up. But, you know, the question mark really becomes, you know, where Kansas City has really struggled is defending running backs and tight ends. And that's not Denver's strength, especially catching out of the backfield. So that'll be interesting to watch and to see. Yeah. I'm curious, do you guys know, is Patrick Lindsay going to be available? Or since he was ejected, is he already automatically suspended?
I've heard that he'll be available.
Yeah, that was a single game, as far as I understand.
Yep, that's what I saw reported, is that he'll be available. I just don't see it. Like you said, you know, tight ends and running backs out of the backfield have given the Chiefs problems. The Chiefs corners, when in man, have actually done a fairly decent job. And I think, you know, some of the blown coverages you've seen have been mostly zone issues. And so the problem is they only have three corners that they trust, and you can't play man all day with three corners. They just, it's too much. It's too much running. It's exhausting. And so I just don't see it. Now, again, at this point, you know, Mahomes has me at a level of belief, because against the Niners on film, he was still really, 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 really good.
Well,
and it's just tough for me to see the Broncos slowing him down.
Let's take a break real quick, and let's come back and let's talk about what you saw on film before we give them a little bit of a guess, at least for you, Seth, where you think this game's going to end up. All right, so you talk about this the game against the 49ers and how Mahomes looked. And I know you were tweeting out that they had four drives in the second half, two of which were ended by questionable. Well, one was a drop and another was by a questionable call. And the one that ended up in a field goal, actually they had first and goal. If it wasn't for LDT basically strangling his guy on a pit.
Yep.
So I think they would have been in a much better position to score a touchdown there. So you want to talk about what you saw from Mahomes in your film review and how the offense has looked in general in that game?
One thing that I would point out with Mahomes' film review is one thing he did better in that game than any other game so far is manipulate the defense with his eyes. It was awesome. It was so much fun to watch. He has, because this preseason we were kind of worried about his eyes a little bit. And I mean, there was a reason, and former quarterback Dan Orlovsky, however you say it, he's become a very good analyst for ESPN, and he actually did a great breakdown of the touchdown to Harris, and he said, you know, it looks when you watch in the broadcast that, you know, Harris is just wide open, but he said, this is the NFL. Guys don't come wide open on accident, and the reason on broadcast it looks like guy after guy is open is because Mahomes is selling it with his eyes. He's looking guys off probably on 15 different plays. He did an amazing job looking guys off. So that was a really cool thing to see. He just struggled with accuracy early. If you look throughout the game, he only had six passes in the pocket that I charted as inaccurate, which isn't that much more than normal. It's just that three or four of them were big plays in the first half, right? And they scored on those possessions anyway. But he was clearly, I think, a little amped up early. He was excited. So what I found
Denver game last year. And that's what I think happened is he got excited, and that's why he overthrew Anthony Thomas last year and threw the pick.
Yeah. I think Mahomes is, he's 20, what is he, 23?
Yep.
He's excitable, but he always calms down quick. He always centers quick. And so here's what I noticed. A lot of people ask me, a lot. I mean, probably literally hundreds of people on Twitter ask me, did the Niners figure something out in the second half? No, they didn't. They weren't doing anything special. They were playing a lot of, they were actually playing quite a bit of man for a while and playing single high. And the Chiefs didn't get too crazy, right? They didn't really test them too awful much on it. And so that's where you can talk about being a little more conservative with, like, you know, a 25-point lead or whatever it was. What happened was you only had four drives in the second half because the Niners offense was on the field quite a bit, right? Because even though the defense did give up touchdowns, they did have to work for it at least, right? They did at least drag it out, especially in the fourth quarter. So the Chiefs only had four drives in the second half. One of them was the game-ending drive. So they weren't trying to score there, right? One of them ended in a field goal, which is a positive result. But even that field goal on second and six in the red zone, Sammy Watkins dropped what I think was a very catchable ball. It would have been kind of the tough catch, but it was a drop. And that would have set them up at first and goal from the nine, right?
I disagree with you on that. I thought that ball was uncatchable, but...
Well, you know, I've been wrong before too. So, I mean, it happens. So, I mean,
I'm just saying, I understand the play, and I think you're right. I think if he catches that ball, it's first and goal, and they score a touchdown. But I don't know. I think Sammy played a great game, other than that one play.
Oh yeah, Sammy did play a great game. He's been awesome. He's been a great find for the offense, and you can tell Mahomes is looking to him more and more in certain situations. His role. Although Tyreek Hill's role will be schematically more important, I think we might see Watkins getting more targets by the end of the year. So, but I mean, that's just something to watch out for. So, but I mean, so that ended with a drop. You had Demetrius Harris in the first drive of the second half. They were marching down the field again, right? And they would have had first and 10 from the Niners territory if Harris doesn't drop a really easy pass, which, you know, stop me if you've heard this one before. And so those are two drives that, you know, one is a field goal, which is a successful drive. So they really only had two unsuccessful drives out of three. And one of them ended in a drop where they were marching down the field. The other one, they got put in a bad position because they had a very poorly executed zone run that ended a five-yard loss, start off in first and 15. But on third down, you know, where Mahomes rolled left and threw it downfield to Tyreek Hill, during the broadcast, I was like, oh, okay, he was out of bounds. And they didn't show any replays. When you look at the all 22, it looks like a catch. I don't know if either of you guys have looked at that.
No,
I have.
It really looks like a catch.
It could be.
And I'm
without seeing the other angle, it's hard to say. But yeah, it certainly could be a catch.
Well, the problem, you know, with the other angle, you know, that's, you know, well, did he secure the ball and that kind of stuff? You know, the ref didn't call him bobbling.
Right.
He called him out.
True.
And when you look, I mean, it looks like he's got both feet down with the ball. But, you know, I don't know whether he was bobbling or not. Hill didn't fight them on it.
Which is what surprised me.
Right. You know, he didn't run over and tell Andy Reid, no, I caught it, which you think he would have done. But all the same, it was actually, I thought live the throw was a couple yards out of bounds. It was an amazing throw. Like, unbelievable. His best throw of the day. And I'm including that touchdown throw to Conley.
Mm.
I mean, it was an unbelievable throw, rolling left, and he put it in just this beautiful spot, honestly. And so, but I mean, that you really didn't have the Niners stopping the Chiefs necessarily. They had a few successful blitz plays, but they also got blitz plays where they got killed. And so, I had some people, oh, did the Niners, that second half really scares me. You know, did they show a blueprint? Absolutely not, at least not on film. Now, maybe Denver's defensive coordinator is much smarter than me and he'll see something that I didn't see. I'm actually working on a piece right now. You know, how would I stop Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense? And so far, I've asked a bunch of analysts at The Athletic and I've gotten a few serious answers, but most of them are like, prayer.
Well, that's pretty tornado.
That's pretty much what Mark Schofield said too on yesterday's show.
And Mark's a great scheme guy. I mean, I Ted Nguyen, you know, with the Athletic, one of the best film analyst guys in the business, unbelievably great. And I mean, I never get his last name pronounced right, but he's awesome at it. And he basically said, well, you know, what I would do is, you know, ask if I could have, you know, two Aaron Donalds, two Von Millers, two Earl Thomases, and three Jalen Ramseys for starters. And then maybe a couple of, you know, Luke Kuechly's. And then I think I could really design a nice scheme to stop them.
Yeah, we really got to work on your non-Chief pronunciation.
Oh, Kuechly. Yeah, my bad. I only read them. I never hear them.
Right? Yeah, hey, that's the way it goes.
But you know, that was his idea. And he said he'd be a great defensive coordinator with that group. And I can't help but agree.
I completely agree, too. But I'm glad you brought up the film because I put the big play on this week's RGR. But I also put something on, and I want to get your opinion, both of you, before we get going. We're going to preview the show for Monday. It'll be out Sunday night, folks. So you'll have a preview show. But just for both of you. 9 sacks in the last 4 times he's played Denver. And that's Justin Houston. And I broke down a couple of his rushes and what he looked like. And I thought it was a tale of two halves, to tell you the truth. But towards that second half, when he started to pick up steam, he started to look like his old self. And I think against this Denver team in particular, he's a guy that has had success over the years against them. And I'm really looking for him to take the next step forward towards getting back on track. How do you feel about him after watching the film? And Chris, how do you feel about him about watching last week?
Well, I haven't watched a ton of him. I've had a lot of people ask me. I've watched a little. I know he's a really hot topic this week because I think a few other Chiefs analysts were writing about him. And I think the prevailing thing is, oh, D Ford is now the best pass rusher on the team. And maybe I haven't watched. I've only watched a little. I will say, you know, there were a few snaps I watched where I kind of wondered about the effort, which was really bizarre to think, like watching Houston.
Mm-hmm.
But effort was the only thing I could think of because other snaps, like you talked about in the second half, like that last sack that he got, I mean, that was dominant. That was just like Yeah. Boom. And so I'm just not sure. And that's what I've told people. I need to see another couple weeks, because so far I don't know if Houston's really popped out to me. You know, when I go back and rewatch, I'll see him winning against Pittsburgh. They gave him his usual unbelievable amount of attention. But I can't tell if he's just not really revved up into things yet or what, because in the second half when he turned it on, he looked great. And so I'm not sure what's up with Houston right now, but I will say if he plays the same level the rest of the season that he's currently played at least by my eye, I think they probably move on. And I love Justin Houston. I love him. You guys know that. But that's kind of my thought, but I haven't reviewed him enough to have an intelligent opinion about him.
Well,
Chris, what's your impression?
I have to ask the question, and I hate asking this. I'm not trying to say he's not giving full effort, but I will ask the question. Is it possible that he sees how many snaps he's getting and saying, okay, I need to save some energy for the second half?
That could well be. Houston.
Because you look at how many snaps they had in the first two games. What was it, 84 defensive snaps each game?
Mm-hmm. Well, and crud, maybe he's
– I mean, that – He, you can't do that to a defensive player and expect him to be fantastic.
Well, and he might be tired from all the running around he's doing in coverage. I don't know.
That too.
See, you know, and I thought that too, but some of the film that I watched, where especially where he's assigned to a zone, he's actually not moving that much.
He's conserving his energy.
That's what I took away from it too. And folks, if you missed the RGR video from Wednesday night, go back and check that out. It's titled About Mahomes, but there's a film review of Houston as well. And it just looks like, especially early in the game, he had trouble getting loose. Like there was a hitch in his giddy up. He wasn't running smoothly. And I still feel like he's still not 100% from that knee, personally.
And that could be. And if he's not 100% now, I mean, I don't, you know. If not now, then when? And I love Justin Houston. So we'll see how it goes. I'm hoping to feel very foolish for even letting doubt creep in. But, you know, all the stuff that people were talking about last year because of production, I'm not sure if the film might not show that a little bit. I can't figure out whether it's an effort thing or a win thing or a whatever thing. So we'll have to see. He definitely did explode in the second half against the Niners. And so we'll have to – I want to see one more week. But like you said, traditionally he's performed very well against the Broncos. So when I do review him, it might have to be a tale of multiple games just to figure out what's going on.
Well, I think we're to that point. Chris and I are going to give our predictions here for the Monday show, folks. But Seth, where are you feeling – what do you have a prediction for this Broncos matchup on Monday night?
I think the Chiefs go over 40. And I think the Broncos put up around, you know, somewhere between 24 and 28. Okay. The Broncos are the one team that Andy Reid has not minded dunking on over the years. you know what I mean? Like, I mean,
no, it's true.
Almost all, some of the worst examples of like him really rubbing a team's face in it have been against the Broncos, and I'm here for it because there's a great article on The Athletic right now by one of our Broncos writers, actually. Go ahead.
Nikki Javila?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm not going to try to pronounce last names because I've been failing about that miserably. But it's entitled, How the Chiefs Have Handled the Broncos Handed the Broncos Season-Altering Losses in Recent Years. Isn't that a great title for an article?
It really is.
And it's
especially
just,
for a girl who writes Broncos.
Yeah, and it's the truth.
Well,
it is the truth.
What I will throw out there is, you have to also remember that the only time I think Reed has lost to the Broncos outside of when Peyton Manning was there in his first year was that horrible game with the Jamal Charles fumble at the end of the game.
We don't talk about that game.
No. You talk about it here all the time, yeah, let me tell you.
That was – well, yeah, you – weren't you guys there?
I was.
Yeah, I was too. And that Arrowhead was about as electric that night, almost at least, as it was this last Sunday. But I just there was something special in the air that night. We really thought we were on our way to something special. And, you know, they went up 14 zip. It was just they were so close, man.
Yeah, agreed.
One thing I will say that has impressed me that I saw on Wednesday, and I can't remember where I saw this. I know it was on Twitter. But one of the stories was that Mahomes is turning down all of his endorsement deals that he's getting offered right now.
Well, I remember that, you know, that was a story in the off season too. And I remember everyone was like, wow, you know, right now he's just turning down these little whatevers. But you got to imagine right now, the Nikes and the Adidas of the world are they've got to be banging on his door. And so if he's turning things down, I mean, he's turning down probably, you know, tens and tens of millions of dollars.
Well, and he's turning it down knowing that he's not getting paid near what some of the other players, some of the other QBs in the league are getting paid right now. And it's impressive to me because his agent, Lee Steinberg, has just talked about how they want him to stay focused on this season and they will, you know, look at it again in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. If he keeps playing the way he is, those offers are only going to get bigger. And so they're actually playing this pretty smart, honestly, because right now,
I agree.
Right now, maybe he could sign a $30 million, $40 million deal, right? Without blinking. If he keeps playing this well, let's say the Chiefs make a deep playoff run and they don't win the Super Bowl, but he's in candidate for an MVP or whatever. And they make a deep playoff run. I mean, you're talking a $100 million thing now. If they win the Super Bowl, you're talking unbelievable Bucco bucks. So it's a smart business move for as much as they go, oh, we're just going to focus on football. Well, they're making a bet on him.
Right.
Yeah. And I think it's a smart
I still love it, though.
Oh, I love it, too.
As a person following the team, you want his focus to be on the game. And I'm not saying that athletes get their focus elsewhere, but, him coming or him saying that and, you know, his agent saying, you know, we want him focused on this. I get it. Yes, it's a business move, but it's still something that, as a fan base, I think you got to be excited about.
Absolutely.
Because it shows how important this game is to him. Yeah, it's a business move, but you know, money's money, especially considering he's not getting paid a ton right now. Right.
Well, I think we have set this up to be good. We're going to have the preview show for you on Monday, and I just want to leave you guys with a little visual. If you're driving, don't close your eyes. But if you're somewhere safe, close your eyes. And just Seth's comment about Andy Reid dunking on the Broncos set this up for me. And when I close my eyes, what I see is John Elway standing underneath the bucket and Andy just a little pivot into the paint, two-handed overhead slam, and he just screams cheeseburger at him.
I'd watch that.
And that's what I'm going to leave you with for the weekend. Thank you for listening today. We'll have the preview for you up Sunday night.
And we will have Matt Derrick with us as well.
So look for that. Enjoy your weekend. Be ready for that game. And we will talk to you afterwards.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.